This is a download from the BBC. For more information and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts. bbclearningenglish.com presents Talk About English, a series of radio features that support your English language studies. Today we conclude our series Better Speaking, presented by Callum Robertson and featuring Richard Hallows.
The simple fact of the matter is this. If we cannot make globalisation work for all, in the end it will work for none.
Well, obviously I've survived in business by being able to speak English and Greek, which is not very useful outside Greece. So definitely English must be the business language.
So when everybody really, really liked Debut, I was like, oh, but that's not... I can do much better than that, you know? So when I did Post, for me, it's the sort of same concept, only I did it much better.
We have so many English television programs, yeah. American, and we don't dub them, we subtitle them. So we read the Swedish words and listen to the English language all the time.
The issue that my parents had with me and my choice of profession was that they thought it was beneath me. They thought that I had a higher calling, that I should have gone into politics. And they were just purely, simply disappointed in me.
Voices of some of the famous people we've been listening to and learning from in this series, Better Speaking. In today's special final episode, Richard Hallows and I will be looking again at some of the things we've learned, some of the ways for you to become better speakers. So, Richard, here we are one more time. What are the main better speaking tips that you're going to highlight for us again today?
Well, there are lots of different things we're going to be thinking about. We've looked in the series at different strategies for communication. We've looked at different ways of dealing with vocabulary, organising it, etc. And we've also looked at different ways of maybe thinking about pronunciation, speaking more clearly.
OK, now from those, let's start with what you call communication strategies. What should learners remember here, Richard?
Well, I think the most important point, and this is something we've said again and again, is that you mustn't be afraid of making mistakes. If you want to communicate and you want to communicate effectively, it's okay to make mistakes. The point is to get your idea across to the listener.
Now, many students might think, well, I don't want to make a mistake. If I make a mistake, that's wrong, that's bad.
Well, I think if you're making so many mistakes that communication breaks down, that the listener doesn't understand, then that's one thing. But if you're making small mistakes, really don't worry about them. Keep going, don't stop. If you stop communicating, then the listener, you know, they're going to switch off, be a little bit bored. The idea is just get that message across. Don't worry about those small mistakes. They won't affect your communication.
So communication is the most important thing.
Absolutely.
Well, let's hear a couple of listeners who talk about their attitude to making mistakes when they're speaking.
I'm not afraid of making mistakes because I've learned from my mistakes. For example, when I was saying, I was making mistake in he or she. When I was talking about a man, I was saying that she said like this, even though I knew that he's a man, but I was making mistake. But I was not shy because it was not my first language, and later on I was correcting myself. I knew that it is mistake, so I know I was never afraid of making mistake.
English is not my first language. I think it's reasonable to make mistakes as long as I can express my idea clearly. If you don't know where you made mistakes, you will never make progress.
So both those speakers there were quite fluent and communicative in English, although they both said that because they're not native speakers, they're going to make mistakes, and that's part of the process of how they learn.
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's absolutely the case. I might also remind listeners of a little trick that we thought of in one of the programmes, where you focus sometimes when you're speaking on accuracy and sometimes on fluency. So sometimes when you're out with your friends and you're socialising in the pub, you know, it's okay maybe for a small time think, all right, for the next 10 minutes, I'm going to think absolutely of every little grammar point and speak absolutely correctly. And do that sometimes. And then the rest of the time, let yourself go, relax, enjoy speaking and just communicate.
Learners who are trying to improve their speaking obviously need to have a wide
range of vocabulary. But many students have the problem in that they don't know enough words, or particularly they don't know a word for a particular thing. They're in a conversation and they want to talk about something, but they don't know that word. Now, you had some strategies for dealing with that very common situation.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, vocabulary is key. And, you know, if you have very few words, you have to think, well, how can you use those few words, you know, as effectively as possible? How can you communicate with those words? And so I think what our listeners need to think about doing is talking around a word, explaining what a word is. So if you don't know the word for something, well, just explain what it is. You know, use the words that you have to communicate your message.
Well, here's Rafael, who's from Brazil, and he had the kind of problem you've just been describing there, and he gets around it. Have a listen to this and see if you can work out what was the word that he was having difficulty finding.
I was in the bus, and I wanted to buy a ticket. I wanted to pay my fare, and I didn't have money, you know, coins, and the fare was just 70p, so I had to give a big bill, to big note of money to the driver, but the driver told me that he couldn't accept the note because he didn't have small coins of, you know, to give me back the money I gave him.
So the word that Rafael is trying to explain is change.
Change. And he uses small money.
And we understand completely what he wants to say. Now, there are some useful little expressions that you might use to help yourself explain things. If you're explaining something, you could say, it's the person who, for example. What do you call the man who collects your money on the bus?
It's the driver.
Yeah, it could be the driver, or there's the person who walks around.
Or the conductor.
Yeah, so we can say the person who, we can say the thing that, or we can say the stuff that. We use stuff for uncountable nouns.
Okay, can you give me an example?
So what's that, what do you call that white stuff that you use for cleaning your teeth?
Toothpaste.
Okay, yes. There you go.
So that's one way of not getting held up by words you don't know or can't remember. Talk around them. But what else can you do about this problem of not having enough words to express what you want to say, to communicate without running out of words?
Before on the programme, I talked about I went to Spain. I went to see my friend Jon in Spain, and there had been an important football match. Now, Jon always wants to talk about football, so I prepared the topic in my mind, and I thought of the likely words that I might need to talk about. So I thought of words like goal and score and shoot, result, words like this. So what I'm talking about really is preparing vocabulary for likely situations.
In an earlier programme, we heard a good example of vocabulary being used around a specific topic, and that was Kofi Annan, Secretary General of the United Nations. Let's just hear that again.
Try to imagine what globalisation can possibly mean to half of humanity that has never made or received a phone call. The simple fact of the matter is this. If we cannot make globalization work for all, in the end, it will work for none.
Now, that example, Richard, obviously it was a scripted example. It was something that had been prepared before he was speaking. But is there anything we can still learn from this?
Yeah, well, sure. As I said, I mean, that is scripted, and we don't go around with scripts. But we are aware of the types of things that we talk about in certain situations. So it's always a good idea to be thinking, preparing in your mind what kind of things you might have to say. And this isn't necessarily just individual words, but it might also be like whole sections, whole chunks of words, whole chunks of language.
And this idea of using groups of words, chunks of vocabulary, we looked at when we were listening to Björk.
Björk, a very good speaker of English.
Here she is.
I've always thought of debut and post as twins. And that's why I call them debut, which is before, and post, which is after. Sort of before and after my little lesson. And I think after this, I will move on to sort of quite sort of different things. But the concept with both debut and post is a week in a life of a normal person and all the ups and downs you have in one week, which you can't plan.
So that was Bjork there, Richard. But what chunks of language was she using you'd like to show us?
There are a couple of very nice things that I think show that Bjork's also lived in England and has picked up some idiomatic language. But she says, she talks about the ups and downs you have in 1 week. And she uses word before and after together. These words naturally co-occur, collocate in English. And it's good to learn these words together as a chunk.
So they go together, ups and downs. Could you also say downs and ups?
No, they only go in one direction, like a black and white film.
Uh-huh, we wouldn't say a white and black film.
Mm.
Now, that kind of language is a little bit idiomatic. On the more common kinds of idioms, any suggestions about learning those?
Learners often want to, you know, spend a long time learning idioms. And learning idioms can be, you know, fun. It's kind of a colourful side of English. But in fact, if you're intending to communicate with other non-native speakers, then chances of, you know, using idioms effectively and your listener understanding quite small, really. And I would advise people to learn more common non-idiomatic language first. And then when you reach a higher level, maybe, you know, that's the time.
And that was a point that was made in one of our earlier programmes by Greek businessman Stelios Hadjioannou.
What I find fascinating is sometimes when you're having perhaps even a casual meeting, even a dinner, with a group of people from different countries, where, you know, the only common link really is business, and you try and talk outside the business, and then there's very little common ground. So one of the things I've learned is that if you're going to communicate with people whose mother tongue is not English, don't try and use too many colloquial expressions, don't try and crack too many jokes, because it may go over their head completely and you may lose them.
So idioms, slang and colloquial expressions may be very colourful, but they might not actually work with people who have learnt their English in different parts of the world.
Yeah, I think Stelios is making an excellent point there. I think he's absolutely right. One thing I'd like to point out about Stelios is the way he organises his language very effectively. He tells us, you know, what's coming next in the speech. For example, he says, what I find fascinating is, and well, everybody's, what's he going to tell us,
yes.
You know? It's quite nice. So he organises very well, and that's something for listeners to think about when they're speaking.
BBClearningEnglish.com.
But, Richard, we haven't mentioned pronunciation yet. We've said that communication is everything, but if pronunciation is poor, then there may be no communication at all, or you may be misunderstood.
Well, sure. I mean, I could talk about pronunciation, you know, we could do a whole series on pronunciation, but I think the most important advice for listeners is to think about the sentence stress and the intonation that you're using. If there's one thing you're going to work on particularly, then think about how you stress certain words in your sentence and which words are not so important.
And also think about how the sentences might go up or might go down.
Indeed. If you want to sound interesting, then in English we use a certain intonation pattern, which may be similar or different to your language. It's important to know, be aware of the differences and, you know, adopt the English way of speaking.
Well, sadly, that's all the time we have today, Richard, and that's all the time we have for this series. Thank you very much for your contributions, your help, your tips and your advice. And thanks too to all our celebrity better speakers. Well, we hope that this programme has helped you to go on to become a better speaker.
That was Talk About English from bbclearningenglish.com.